morning.
I'm reading from 1 Corinthians, the first chapter, the 17th verse, to 2 Corinthians, the fifth verse. Please follow along. It's on page 1222. For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with words of human wisdom, lest the cross of Christ be emptied of its power. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to those who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, the intelligence of the intelligent I will frustrate. Where is the wise man? Where is the scholar? Where is the philosopher of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not know him, God was pleased through the foolishness of what was preached to save those who believe. Jews demand miraculous signs, and Greeks look for wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to Gentiles. But to those whom God has called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than man's wisdom, and the weakness of God is strength and stronger than man's strength. Brothers, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were influential. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. He chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before him. It is because of him that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God. That is our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. Therefore, as it is written, let him who boasts, boast in the Lord. When I came to you, brothers, I did not come with eloquence or superior wisdom, as I proclaimed to you the testimony about God. For I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I came to you in weakness and fear and with much trembling. My message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith might not rest on men's wisdom, but on God's power. Let us pray. Thank you, God, for your holy word, and thank you, God, for your messenger today. We ask that you would just be with us today and strengthen us, God, in our struggles and in our journey. And let us know you'll be with us always and that you'll give us what we need to survive, and not only to survive, but to thrive in your world. In the precious name of Jesus, amen.
Many years ago, I visited Corinth. As a matter of fact, my wife and I visited Corinth. Corinth is mentioned in the New Testament many times, and the believers of Corinth have been mentioned many times. And when we went to Corinth, we only found a small group of believers, very small. And we were disappointed, really, not to see a large group of believers. And yet, the same thing happened in many other churches or places of the Old Testament. The seven churches that we read about, and so many other powerful churches have disappeared. And yet God's work is continuing. And yet the Holy Spirit is working. And yet God will use those who are faithful to him. God is not looking for perfect churches, for there aren't any. God is not looking for perfect people, for there aren't any. He is looking for people who are willing to be used by God for his kingdom. The believers in Corinth were divided and not living up to the Christian standards. And I believe there was a price they were going to pay. They were mixing the gospel with the wisdom of the world. They were glorifying or glorying in men and man-made doctrines and did not understand the meaning of the gospel. Many of the churches today and believers fall into the same category. Traveling in other countries and visiting other churches, we have seen things that are very similar to things that are happening here and in other European and other countries. The churches have been inviting the world into the church to make the church more exciting, more relevant. I believe the Bible is as relevant as it can ever be. I believe the Bible is up to date today and forever. Whatever you read in the Bible is the breath of God. Apostle Paul, in his letter to the Corinthians, he deals with this situation and gives them seven proofs to show them that the gospel, which means the message of Christ, is all people need, not the wisdom of the world system. Now, some people may disagree with me when I talk about the wisdom of this world or about the doctrinal philosophies and things like that. But what I actually mean is when we want to make the gospel more relevant, when we try to make the gospel more exciting, when we make the gospel or the message of Jesus Christ to be up to date, bring it up to date, we are robbing the power of Christ from the message in the Bible and the message of the cross. And Apostle Paul starts by talking about his call, his commission. Apostle Paul was not a man who had failed his exams at the university, and he wanted to be here, and so he went to the believers and said, "I am a good teacher, well, or I'm very educated, I need a job." No, he actually did not even volunteer to follow Christ. The call came directly from God himself, Jesus. Paul's commission is seen in verse 17. He was sent by Jesus to preach the gospel, the good news alone, not the gospel plus men's philosophies. Anyone who preaches gospel of Jesus Christ plus works, plus philosophy, plus doctrinal updates or upgraded doctrines is doing a terrible mistake. The gospel of Jesus Christ is sufficient to save and to sustain anyone who surrenders his or her life to him. We must not mix anything with the gospel. Apostle Paul puts it this way: Christ sent me to preach the gospel, not with words of human wisdom, lest the cross of Christ be emptied of its power. Anyone who tries to explain the cross in a very elaborate or in a very exciting way, he or she is taking away from the meaning of the cross. The cross is the price that brought salvation to us. As a matter of fact, it's not the cross, it's who died on that cross, Jesus Christ. So Paul says, my commission, my call came from God. And so he is saying to the Corinthians and to every Christian, what I say is not from my wisdom. What I say is not what I learned at the temple or anywhere else, but is direct. I am directed by the Holy Spirit. That was number one, his commission. Number two, it was his personal experience. And I believe that the best message we can ever give to anyone, the best argument we can ever use, the best doctrine we can ever present to anyone is our own personal testimony. Who I was and who I am now. But to say that I was this and now I am that, we have to be different than our past. So Apostle Paul says, for the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved is the power of God. They had experienced the gospel's power, the Corinthians, personally, but now they were looking for proofs in wisdom and man's intelligence. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved is the power of God. He also said, we preach Christ and Him crucified. Any church who takes away from the power of this crucified Jesus and credits other doctrines and credits other men and credits the religious symbols and signs is robbing from Christ's death on the cross. So Apostle Paul says, my message is this. I was a religious man. I served the temple. I served my country. I was zealous. As a matter of fact, I really was very active in pursuing or at least practicing my faith, my belief. That was until I met Christ. The cross, until the light blinded me completely. And from then on, I'm not the same anymore. This morning at the Bible study, we were saying that unless we as Christians are changed completely and reflect Christ in our lives, we do nothing. His personal experience. Third, Scripture, the Word of God, is what he uses. In verses 19 and 20, Paul quotes from Isaiah 19 and 33 to prove that God does not need the world's wisdom. In fact, God will destroy it, the Bible said. And I quote, the wisdom of the wise will perish. The intelligence of the intelligent will vanish. People disagree again with me. They say, well, what do you want? Just primitive message preached with no arguments, with no doctrinal presentations, with no explanations. Well, the only explanation that I have, Apostle Paul says, that I met Christ and he opened my eyes and the light shone in my life, and now I know who I believe and I know whom I'm going to serve. And the scripture says that the wisdom of man cannot save anyone and cannot be the tool to use. Yes, wisdom is good. Yes, we have to be wise. Yes, studying is good. Yes, going to university is fine. Yes, reading the Bible every day and trying to interpret it the best you can is what we should do. But all that does not save anyone, except it helps us to find the truth or confuse us completely unless The Holy Spirit is the one directing us in our studies and leads us to the truth. And then he says the human history is another factor. With all of its wisdom, and the world was not able to find God or salvation. Trace human history and you will discover that it is a record of men getting more and more knowledge, but less and less wisdom, especially about spiritual matters. Why? Because they have a wrong or no concept or understanding of God and His revelation to mankind. Trying to prove to someone who bases his understanding of life. Trying to argue with someone who only has philosophy or science or whatever else or religious history seems to be futile when the person is not willing to open, to allow the truth to open his eyes or her eyes. I use this example downstairs at the Bible study. I was discussing, my wife was there and the missionary family, the missionary and his wife were there, and I was discussing God with a man who is a highly educated, a man who has traveled around the world, a man who knows science and he knows philosophy and he knows everything that I didn't know. And yet when it came to his spiritual things, he was using science and philosophy and history to try to prove that he cannot believe in God because science this and science that. And at the end, I used whatever God put in my heart to talk with him, and he was, I thought he was coming to a point where he would accept God in his life. He said to me, "You know, based on what I know, I cannot accept it." And I said, "That is the problem. We are two men discussing something very important, and yet you are the philosopher and I am the believer. I believe in God, I believe in creation, I believe in eternal life, and I believe in Jesus Christ, and you are a philosopher, you're philosophizing." And he brought down his eyes for a moment or two or three, and he looked at me right into my eyes and he said, "You know, I wish I could be like you. I wish I would accept by faith God, but I can't." You see, the wisdom of man, intelligence is good, but the devil will use that also to harden the heart of a man who is not opening up to God's intervention. Apostle Paul could have said, "Oh, what light is this?" or something, and he didn't. He just allowed the light to come into his life, and his life changed. God's plan is so simple and unique that it is foolishness to the world. God saves those who believe what he says about his Son, Jesus Christ. And I believe only Jesus can save. Then number 5, Paul says, is the ministry. His ministry. How God used him. Paul had preached to Jews and Gentiles across the Roman world. He knew that the Jews looked for miraculous signs, and the Gentiles, the Greeks in particular, looked for philosophical wisdom. But God bypassed both to make salvation available through a crucified Christ. I believe that many Christians today are even shy or embarrassed to talk about the crucified Christ. And they will talk about God who loves everyone, God who blesses everyone, God who gives riches, God who gives health, God, and you know, the devil is not unhappy with that, because God can be whatever you make. of him. Or you can make anything to be your God. And yet we know, and it's very clear in the Bible, that the only way is Jesus Christ. He said, I'm the only way, the only truth, I'm the only life. And when the church stops emphasizing this, the church gets into trouble. The pews are empty. People want to hear good stuff. People want to hear that they will live for a long time and be healthy, and they will have a lot of income, or at least joy, and they can live a life that will give them a lot of pleasure and still go to heaven. And the Bible doesn't say that. The message of the crucified Christ was a stumbling block to the Jews, whose idea of the Messiah was very different. It was foolishness to the Greeks because it was below their philosophical system. But Paul says that this foolish gospel, as they referred to, it was God's power and wisdom to the Jews and the Greeks and everyone who had responded to the gospel. Jesus is our wisdom and power. He is all we need. In our visit to Armenia, I met a champion, boxing champion, a young man. You will see his picture, I hope, downstairs when we show you the film. He had many gold medals. He was a champion in Europe. He received a gold medal twice in Europe, in Armenia, and many other countries. And his father is a believer, and yet I realized that they were confused. He's a believer, young man, believing young man. And yet, because of the doctrinal arguments and religious persecution, they were confused. We met others of high places, and yet, what everyone needed and needs is Christ to have a fulfilled life. But Paul says that this foolish gospel, as they refer it, was the power of God. Number six, their own calling. Apostle Paul says, your own calling. If God needs men's wisdom and glory, says Paul, then why did he ever call you? I'm not saying this. Paul says to the Corinthians, and if God needs philosophers, and if God needs professors, and if God needs scientists, why are you here? I don't know how many scientists we have here, but I'm not one. And we are here because we are children of God. Because we became very important. And because his call is a universal call to anyone who wants to have eternal life and to make peace with God. Apostle Paul reminds them of that. In fact, God deliberately revealed himself and still does to the humble and the rejected. Throughout the Bible, we see how God was able to take nobodies of history and make great leaders of them. For example, Abraham, Moses, Gideon, David, and others. Their own calling. Why did God call me? Why did God call my wife? Why did God call you? As a matter of fact, God is calling everyone. Jesus says, I stand at the door and I knock. If you open the door, I'll come in and we'll have supper together. Can you imagine having supper with God? And you say, how can you do that? He is spirit. Well, I believe that I've experienced that, and I'm experiencing that daily. When I'm eating, when I'm about to go to bed, I feel his presence and I talk to him. Unless I've lost my mind and I have some kind of a disease, I'm talking to the air, I know that I'm talking to God. And I know that you're talking to God when you pray. And you are blessed every time you do it. Number 7, Apostle Paul says, Christ's sufficiency is something you should remember to the Corinthians. Every true believer is in Christ Jesus. And Christ is to every true believer all that he or she needs. We don't need man's worldly wisdom or power. We have Christ. He is our redemption, our righteousness, our wisdom, our all is Jesus. To add anything to Christ or his cross is to diminish the effectiveness of his message on them. Whenever Christians get their eyes off Christ and start depending on man, trusting man's wisdom and seeking to glorify man, then there will always be divisions and trouble. There were Christians in Corinth who admired the philosophers and eloquence of the intelligent man, and they thought that the church would be better off to use men's intelligence and philosophy to win converts rather than the simple message of the cross. I was told just the other day that there is a church that every their membership is very small, they're not doing well spiritually. So what they do is when they invite some preacher to come, they will be calling everyone they know, even other pastors, and say, please do me a favor, bring your people in to worship together, because we want to show this preacher that we're doing well. Well, that's what happens when we think that a preacher from outside, a philosopher from outside, a guest speaker may weaken the church or may fill the pews, the church. When we do that, then what we're saying is Christ is not sufficient. That we're saying the message of the Bible cannot do it. So I will bring a scientist, I'll bring a specialist to teach us how to fill the pews. But the cross, Jesus Christ, will do it if we really. A sister this morning said the problem with us is that we don't pray enough and ask the Holy Spirit to come and lead us and fill us. Then we'll be able to really be effective. Paul, seeing their spiritual condition, writes to them the following. And I'd like to read to you a few verses. When I came to you, brothers, I did not come with eloquence or superior wisdom, as I proclaimed to you the testimony about God. For I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I came to you in weakness and fear and with much trembling. My message and my preachings were not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith might not rest on men's wisdom, but on God's power. What about the Christians today? Do we resemble Apostle Paul in his humility? We do not need Christ plus anything else. Just Jesus. Jesus is sufficient to save. He is all we need. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for sending Jesus. Lord Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross and paying the price for our salvation. Lord, we really need your guidance. And we ask that the Holy Spirit may help us continue our spiritual journey, life on this earth, knowing that you are with us and you'll guide us and direct us, knowing that we have trusted you totally, completely, not you plus others, but only you. Lord Jesus, help each one of us this morning. Help us deal with questions and with doubts. Help us deal with family situations. There may be family problems in our life. There may be situations where we cannot control our anger or our doubts and things like that. Please help us, and may the Holy Spirit help us get closer and closer to you and focus on you. In your blessed name I pray, amen.